Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Welcome to Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today we bring you highlights from this past Monday's election year issues forum with the candidates for General Assembly from Central Wisconsin. We will hear from incumbent Republican Scott Suter and his Democratic challenger Tim Swigum in the Abbotsford-based 69th Assembly District, from Democrat Donna Seidel and her Republican challenger Jess Kufall in the Wausau-based 85th Assembly District, and from Republican Jerry Petruski and his Democratic challenger Nate Mishka in the Mosinee-based 86th Assembly District. The event was sponsored by the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, the Wausau Daily Herald, WAOW-TV9, and Wisconsin Public Radio. Our questioners were Katie Rosenberg of WAOW and Robert Menser of the Daily Herald. Today we'll hear the candidates address the economic issues facing Central Wisconsin, how our region will cope with a struggling economy, and how we will deal with the issues of jobs, taxes, the state budget, school funding, and health care. And now, the election year forum with the General Assembly candidates from Central Wisconsin. So please, a round of applause for all six of our candidates. And we turn to Katie Rosenberg of WAOW-TV9 for the first question. Katie?
The national economy is hitting rough patch after rough patch. While the experts say that our area is somewhat insulated from the big bank failures and the volatility on Wall Street, folks still feel jittery because of recent local economic hits. Specifically, manufacturers are closing their Wisconsin factories, companies are making sweeping cuts, and others are just not hiring. What can you do to attract companies who will provide good-paying jobs in our area, and what can you do to help those that are already here? Is there anything statewide that we can do to shore up the economy, and how important are our tax cuts relative to new programs?
And we go first to Scott Suter, who has 90 seconds. Scott?
Last thing we should do is raise taxes in this state like some people in this panel want to do. Whether it's your health care taxes or your payroll taxes or business taxes, that seems to be some individual solutions. That is the wrong way to go in a poor economy. What we should do is encourage development, set our priorities straight, make sure we have good roads, make sure we have good health care, and encourage job and economic development and job investment, whether that's retraining or whether that's incentives for economic incentives for biofuels, making certain we reduce our dependence on foreign oil through ethanol and nuclear and all types, not just one or two, but all types of alternative energies. I've done that. I've got a record of doing that. I've got a record of keeping our roads on track, a record of creating jobs, whether it's the dental clinic in Neillsville that's going to create jobs or encouraging development throughout our area in rural Wisconsin. I think that's important, and I think you have to look at the record, but the last thing we do, again, is to raise taxes.
We move to Tim Swigum. You've got 90 seconds.
Well, I, too, have been active in helping develop businesses in Owen, Wisconsin. In the 7 years since I've been mayor, we've increased our tax base by over 50%. One of the reasons I'm running is because we don't get enough support from our state representatives, and I feel that we need to be in partnership with our local communities to help them grow. I've been active on our local economic development corporations as well as in the Clark County Economic Development Corporation. So I've worked with other communities, I believe, to bring more jobs and economic development to their communities. I think it's a partnership with the state through the DNR, through Department of Commerce. I believe that we need to all work together. We can't be just showing up for the photo op when they break ground or do a ribbon cutting. I think we need to be there at the beginning and be the point person to help them develop their businesses.
Same question to Donna Seidel and Jess Kufall. What can we do, given the nasty economic climate, to attract and keep good-paying jobs? How important are tax cuts relative to new programs? And we'll start with Donna Seidel.
Let's talk about taxes. I think that the issue in Wisconsin is fair taxes, increased transparency, so that we actually can find out who the corporations are, and they're primarily multi-state, larger corporations that are shirking their duties and are paying little, if any, property taxes, they are paying little, if any, income taxes. While many of our Main Street small and mid-sized businesses are paying more than their fair share. The CEO of the largest private employer was speaking about the tax climate, the general business climate in Wisconsin. He'd been in the state for 150 years and said if he was asked now to settle in Wisconsin, he probably would not. He didn't have any plans to leave, but he probably wouldn't settle here. And he said, but guess what? It isn't because of the tax climate. The tax climate for us isn't bad. What we have a problem with is a skilled workforce.
Let's move to Jessica Fall. Jess, you've got 90 seconds.
Being that I'm directly involved in small business for the last 25 years, I guess I can tell you firsthand some of the problems that we've incurred over time. Payroll taxes are a big thing. A lot of time, most times, small business never makes it past the first turn because they stumble and they get tangled up in state-imposed taxes and penalties and late interest fees and such. I believe that new business should have tax breaks at least for a probationary period until they can get themselves established. As for growing our economy, I believe that to invest in anything that is green. I mean, that's the way of the future, whether it be wind, solar, nuclear power, alternative fuels, that's where the money's at, and I think we should keep our eye on the ball. Tax incentives for health savings accounts, I guess I've always been a real proponent of that. I believe that people should take a personal stake in their own personal health care and not insist that Uncle Sam takes care of all of their needs.
Let's move to Jerry Petruski and Nate Mishka. How do we keep jobs in the area given the current economic climate? Jerry, you go first.
I think jobs are the mainstay of anything we're going to do with the economy. Wisconsin has some very unique thing that we've done over the last couple of years, the Jobs Creation Act, the Dairy Manufacturing Facility Investment Credit, the idea of trying to get businesses to expand here, to grow here. And I think it's a combined effort between state government and local government for a whole variety of things that we focus on. Everything from tax and increment financing districts, where you can go ahead and take dollars from taxes and build that district to lure businesses there. Development zones. We have block grants. We have T grants from DOT that can be used for rail spurs, roadways going into businesses to expand, to create jobs. Certainly, we're very fortunate in Wisconsin. We have a great education system. We have workers that really want to work. And I think between the combination of everything, that's why Central Wisconsin fared very well in that jobs market.
Nate Mishka, you've got 90 seconds.
Three things I think I'd focus on that I think set me apart a little bit. Number one, I would vote for the American Jobs Act, which is a bill that simply says that when the state is giving out contracts to businesses here with our taxpayer money, that we ought to give preference to hardworking Americans and companies employing them rather than those shipping jobs overseas. That's something, you know, like I said, that I would vote differently than Representative Petruski has. The second thing I think is a more long-term problem and more difficult to explain, but it's getting the state budget deficit under control. And as part of that, I think there's certainly a number of loopholes that out-of-state corporations are not paying that increase the burden on small businesses here in Wisconsin and property taxes. We need to look at the tax code to make sure that people are paying their fair share so that all the rest of us don't get hammered with the rest of the bill.
Heading your way next, how the candidates for the General Assembly in Central Wisconsin balance the budget, property taxes, and school funding.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We pick up our coverage of this week's Election Year Issues Forum for the General Assembly candidates for Central Wisconsin by focusing on school funding, property taxes, and the state budget. The candidates for the 86th Assembly District begin this round with Democratic challenger Nate Mishka and Republican incumbent Jerry Petruski.
Okay, on school funding, under the revenue caps, if the state doesn't come up with approximately two-thirds, it gets shifted to the property taxpayer. That is problematic because you know what property taxes are in the state of Wisconsin. We make every effort to come up with dollars. This next budget that we're going into, there's going to be $1 billion more for that next budget just through K-12. That's astronomical. Are there problems out there? Absolutely. I think there is something we can look at doing in the short term, and that would be Chapter 220. What that program does is it deals with school integration, where you move a student from one district or within a district even to another school. The recipient school are able to claim that student under the two-thirds funding formula, and then Chapter 220 picks up the busing plus makes a payment to that school where the child is supposed to be for not being there. Now, that's crazy, but some of those schools are making money off of it, and it's very hard to get it changed.
Nate, you've got 90 seconds.
Well, as a product of a public school, I feel like our public schools are certainly one of the most key priorities that our state can have, and certainly the escalating costs have been a burden on everyone. I guess here I go back again, at least first. I do think that we need to look at the school funding formula in general and aggressively. I don't think that that's something that Representative Petrosky and the Assembly Republican leadership have done as much as they should, and that means that property taxes are getting increased because of that failure by the state to provide two-thirds. So I think, you know, again, here I go back to some of these issues of loopholes that we need to work on closing and then see where that leaves us and then evaluate what options might make sense after that as well.
All right, the two of you now have 3 minutes.
I think the bottom line is Nate would raise property taxes, and I don't believe that we can do that. I think that's just asking too much of the people that are paying those taxes here in the state of Wisconsin. He talks about loopholes, and we have closed a lot of loopholes this past 3-4 years. The banking that was being done out of Las Vegas, we changed that dramatically. Now I keep on hearing this sales tax loophole cleanup from different people. They look at the sales tax exemptions as a possibility for new revenue. Well, let me tell you, sales tax exemptions, there are four main ones where all the money is. One is food, prescription drugs, rent, and the farm exemption. Now, to some of the people at this table, those may be our corporate loopholes, but I'll tell you that if you had an $800 rent payment and had to pay another 5% on top of that, that would be $40 per month or almost $400 at the end of the year more that you'd be paying in sales tax. I'm not going to stand still and see those exemptions change on food and prescription drugs and rent and even the farm exemption.
We've got about a minute.
Well, with all due respect, I'm not going to take a lot of baloney about raising taxes, something that I've never said, from someone who has stood by over the last decade and let the state budget deficit spiral out of control. If anyone in this audience doesn't think that that is going to raise taxes in the long term or do something or cut, you know, crucial priorities, then I think they're using Madison math.
Nate, you can't have it both ways. You always want to have it both ways. I don't know why that is. The budgets that we have passed, the assembly budgets, were not the ones that put us in the hole. Those were cut down. They were very lean. But when you go ahead and have to compromise with the Democratic Senate, with the governor, there ends up being a compromise, and that costs more money. You go ahead and find fault with people. You say, you don't work together. I'm one of the people that's working together with the other side of the aisle, trying to find a way, willing to vote for a compromise, and then you say, oh, you're spending this money. You can't have it both ways.
So you're saying that the budget deficit that Governor Doyle inherited in 2003 when he took office is somehow his fault as well and everyone else's, but the Assembly Republican leadership, yourself included?
The budget deficit really was generated because we went through 9/11, and that threw a wrench into so many things.
Please.
I don't know why you'd laugh at that. There was a lot of people, and our economy struggled after 9/11.
Let's move on to Scott Suter and Tim Swigum in the 69th District. Scott, you go first. We're talking about property taxes and school funding.
Well, let's start with school funding. Here's what the Assembly did, and the final version of the budget reflected. We put $525 million in new money for schools. And we also made sure that rural schools in our area, which I was proud to have a hand in, we put more money for declining enrollment schools, which affect a lot of the schools in the 69th Assembly District, more money for rural transportation aids. Now, this is during a budget deficit, so I think that's a pretty good thing that happened. I think there's a couple things we can do. I think we should allow – I think Jerry's right. We should get rid of that Chapter 220 program, which only benefits Milwaukee. It's around $83, $84 million. We should get rid of it, redistribute that across the state. I think that would help immensely. We should also allow educators a choice in their health care plans. Right now they've got – basically a lot of districts have one Cadillac plan, the WEAC plan. If we simply allowed them a choice, if the governor would sign that bill that we in the assembly passed, we could save millions and still getting quality health care for educators and retired educators like my mom. So there's things we can do, but we've made the investment. We've made smart investments for our schools. And if you look at schools as a result of the last budget in the 69th Assembly District, most of them, in fact, a great percentage of them, are getting two-thirds funding. I think that's a success.
Tim Swigum, you've got 90 seconds.
As far as the property taxes and the school funding, I think we need to separate the costs of the classroom from the costs of the building. We need to throw out the funding formula and start all over again. The cost of the classroom based on enrollment numbers makes sense. But when you fund a whole school based on enrollment numbers, that doesn't make sense because in our district, it's a rural area. We don't have the numbers of students that they do in the bigger cities. And we wind up using those funds to heat the building, to pay the electric bill, to bus our students. We
15
need to
seconds.
Preserve the local control of our school districts, and we need to give them the right to tax accordingly. We can't continue to go to referendum to fix our roof or our boiler. It's just not fair to our local schools.
All right, the two of you have 3 minutes.
Well, my opponent says he wants to throw out the funding formula. I guess what he doesn't realize is we are outnumbered in Madison, Milwaukee for legislators. Guess who's going to win that fight if we're not careful? The last thing I want is for Milwaukee and Madison, and that's Republicans and Democrats, to gang up on those of us in rural Wisconsin that have banded together, both Democrats and Republicans, to do what we can. It's a dangerous game, and it's a very dangerous thing to allow the school funding formula just to go by the wayside and have Madison Milwaukee gang up on this. I'm not going to let that happen.
I think that that's a cop-out, and I think that if we're talking about getting rid of the Chapter 220, is that realistic then under Scott Souter's argument there? Is there more people in Madison Milwaukee than there is in the whole rest of the state, and aren't the schools suffering
yeah.
enough in the rural areas? Then we need to put up a better fight than to support our rural schools, our local schools, and the QEO is outdated. It's held them down for over a decade, and now they're feeling the hurt of spending their reserve funds, their rainy day funds. We need to help those school districts succeed by redoing the formula because it's not fair to the rural schools.
Okay, 3.8% for the QEO. It's a guaranteed 3.8%. I know. My mom's a retired educator.
She retired before any of this happened, and the
3.8% No, she didn't, Tim. She retired a couple years
insurance.
Ago, so get your facts straight.
Well, whatever. It's been 8, 10 years.
And you've
years.
Never met my mother, so guess we're even on that
well,
one.
Well, it's about a decade that health care costs have been spiraling out of control.
Well, you talk about Chapter 220. You prove my point. The reason we can't get rid of the darn Chapter 220 program is because we are outnumbered. If I could get that done tomorrow, I would. I've tried it every single session.
1 minute.
And one of these times we're going to get it.
1 minute. I was at the Colby School District a couple years ago where Scott blamed the school for their budget
No,
problem.
Tim. Where you show me where I did that.
But he stood there, and they were trying to get him to help them. They were going through a referendum and about to close the school, and he basically said, it's your fault. You spend too much money.
Okay.
That's not fair to our school.
I was at that meeting, Tim.
All right, let's wrap this up.
I was at that meeting, Tim, and I don't know what planet you're living on, but what I did when I was viciously attacked by the school board president was say, look, here are the facts from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. You're getting two-thirds funding, in fact, more at that time from the state. How much more do you want? Look, I didn't want that school to close. That wasn't my decision. But I said, look, how much more do you need? We're giving you more money. You're getting more than two-thirds. I'm trying my best here. There's a lot of schools that aren't getting that. That's what I said, Tim. I didn't say close the school. I didn't say anything other than that. So check the record, Tim, and get the facts straight.
Okay, the time is up. We're moving on to Donna Seidel and Jessica Fall in the 85th District. And, Donna, you've got 90 seconds on property taxes and school funding.
First, what I would like to say is the portrayal of the support that our public schools got in the state budget and how just, fair, and good we were to them is great, but what my colleague isn't doing, my Republican colleague isn't talking about the proposal that the Republican in the Assembly initially had that would have been devastating for the public schools in the state of Wisconsin, and luckily that didn't pass. I like to talk about the school funding formula that we have all discussed. It is extremely complicated. In fact, when I first went to Madison, people said, if three people in Madison are telling you they understand the school funding formula, one's mistaken and the other two are lying. It is incredibly complicated. We have convened a number of conferences, brought together representatives from across the state to say either their school districts are on the verge of bankruptcy because they're in rural areas, or if not, even the ones in large urban areas know that they will be in a world of hurt in years to come if we don't change it. The Assembly Democrats had a proposal to the bill would have called for a bill that would revise the school funding formula to be in place by 2009. The Republicans scoffed at that, said that's silly, that's a plan to have a plan.
We
wanted to use the best and brightest minds in Wisconsin and the country to come up with a better way that doesn't pit taxpayers against our kids and our schools, and the Republicans laughed at it and would have nothing to do with it.
Jessica Paul, you have 90 seconds.
One, basically the property tax burden, it's always been my belief to get that off the shoulder of the property owners. It's always been my preference to shift some of that tax burden over to a small sales tax. You know, a lot of people don't realize what kind of money that sales tax generates. Just on our own local information, and assuming that half the counties in our state are economically prosperous, a half a percent could generate almost $600 million a year. If that money could be transferred over for its sole purpose of property tax relief, it'd be a big burden off of a lot of our shoulders. This sales tax would affect everybody, the people that travel through Wisconsin, people that fly in, their vacationers that come here and spend money in our resorts and restaurants and whatever it may be, or buy their gas. A lot of people are being taxed out of their homes because one, they have no kids. They feel it's not fair that they have to pay these huge property tax, which is heavily loaded towards school taxes. The second thing, the school costs. You know, I think we're making long-term commitments on short-term demographic trends in building schools. I think we should look a little closer at the need for some of these newer buildings. You know, I'm a real advocate. I'm in the building business. Why would I not want to do any building? But some of these schools that I see, they rival Las Vegas casinos. I don't know that we need to spend $20 million on a high school only to find out 5 years later we don't have enough students to put in it.
You are listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and you are hearing highlights of this week's election year issues forum with the General Assembly candidates from Central Wisconsin. Incumbent Republican Scott Suter and his Democratic challenger Tim Swigum from the Abbotsford-based 69th Assembly District, from Democrat Donna Seidel and her Republican challenger Jess Kafal in the Wausau-based 85th Assembly District, and from Republican Jerry Petruski and his Democratic challenger, Nate Mishka, in the Mosinee-based 86th Assembly District. I want to remind you that we are in a Wisconsin Public Radio pledge drive. If programs like Route 51 and the forums like the one that we're bringing you are important to you, you need to keep them coming. Please pledge your support at 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552. Coming up after this short news break, we continue our highlights of this week's election year's issue forum as the General Assembly candidates weigh in on health care, property taxes, and the budget. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Public.
Public Radio comes from the Wisconsin Academy of Physician Assistants in recognition of National PA Week. PAs in Wisconsin are committed to providing quality health care throughout the state. On the web at WAPA.org.
We are back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today, highlights of this week's Election Year Issues Forum with the General Assembly candidates from Central Wisconsin. Incumbent Republican Scott Suter and his Democratic challenger Tim Swiggum in the Abbotsford-based 69th Assembly District. From Democrat Donna Seidel and her Republican challenger Jess Kufall in the Wausau-based 85th District. And from Republican Jerry Petruski and his Democratic challenger Nate Mishka in the Mosinee-based 86th Assembly District. Questions posed by Katie Rosenberg of WAOW-TV9 and Robert Menser of the Wausau Daily Herald. We pick up our coverage as the candidates address the issue of health care in Wisconsin as we turn to Robert Menser of the Daily Herald.
The debate about healthy Wisconsin in last year's legislative session made clear the battle lines when it comes to expanding health coverage in the state. Those pushing for healthy Wisconsin said it would provide universal coverage for Wisconsin's residents, and those who opposed it said the program would amount to an enormous tax increase, often advocating private health savings accounts as an alternative. My question to those on either side of the issue is, how has your thinking about health care reform changed as a result of this financial crisis? By showing how volatile the market is, the crisis points out a serious drawback of health savings accounts. Are citizens comfortable having their health care savings exposed to market risks? For proponents of universal health care, is it responsible for the state to take on an expensive new program at a time of financial hardship?
We go first to the 86th district and or 85th district and Donna Seidel. Donna, you've got 90 seconds.
Well, as you mentioned before, Glenn, I have been a very strong advocate in health care reform in Wisconsin and making quality health care affordable to everybody in the state. There are so many pieces to this issue. Let's talk Healthy Wisconsin. Healthy Wisconsin was a Senate plan, a Senate initiative. The Assembly Democrats did not have an opportunity to bring a plan of their own, of our own, to the floor. We will be putting together a plan that the Assembly will back. And there are some very, very good pieces of what Healthy Wisconsin is. It is obviously primarily employer-based, like most of health care insurance that people have had since World War II. It's affordable. Companies that supply it now and provide health care benefits now would see a savings. All of us at this front table, whenever we have talked to constituents and voters, whether they're individuals, business owners, farmers, we hear over and over again that this is one of their single top priorities.
Jessica Fall, you've got 90 seconds.
Okay. It's always been my personal preference. I hate to keep going back to the health savings account, but I believe that people should take a personal responsibility in their own health care and their health prevention. And we should be able to do this, locally. That people should have choices of doctors they want to see, and not have it administered by some state employee. I guess the joke is it's like having someone from the DOT handle your health needs. If this program was into place, and if Wisconsin was to do it as a whole, and not a regional type of program, there would be a mass exodus of employers just packing up their bags and leaving for another state, as well as a huge influx of people from adjoining states flocking into Wisconsin to take advantage of this program.
All right, the two of you now have 3 minutes.
Well, first of all, the plans, Healthy Wisconsin and other plans that have had significant work put into them over a number of years, have a couple of important pieces that my opponent is not very clear on. One, they're public partner partnerships. These are not state-run. Secondly, they do provide choice of provider. Thirdly, they do important things by encourage personal responsibility and provide for no-cost or very low-cost preventive services. And also, there is different regulations that would be involved with the healthcare industry, and things like pre-existing conditions would no longer create automatic exemptions for people who need the coverage. So those are in plans. I think it's important that we talk about health savings accounts because in some of these plans, health savings accounts can be a factor. They are not the be-all and end-all. They are not the silver bullet. Most people understand that for maybe the healthy and the wealthy they work. They're high deductible plans. The minimum deductible is $2,200 for a family, $1,200 for an individual, but the average deductible for family is $3,800. And then there are premiums to pay as well. Well, the people that I talk to and are telling me that every day they are struggling to put gas in their car and food on their table would have an awfully tough time coming up with an extra $3,800 to put aside to do to comply with the high deductible. The question is, will people be more reluctant to go for early treatment? Or would they wait until a disease gets more severe and costly before they would want to go and start spending out their high deductible?
We've got 45 seconds.
I agree on unless some of the issues. There is no silver bullet program that's going to solve all these problems, and the pre-existing conditions is one item that definitely needs to be dealt with. What I hear is most employers are willing to forego this initial, we'll call it deductible, based on the amount of savings they have by the virtual half cost what it is for this health savings plan compared to hooking on to an insurance company's program. The biggest concern I have is they project a 12% payroll tax, and everybody knows that you project 12%. It's like the old saying, you know, how to remodel your kitchen at just over 2.5 times its estimated cost. Ultimately, when the plan's in play, that 12% could be 25 or 30%.
Up next, we hear from Jerry Petruski and Nate Mishka of the 86th Assembly District and Scott Suter and Tim Swigum of the 69th District on the issue of health care as we bring you highlights of this week's Election Year Forum with the General Assembly candidates from Central Wisconsin.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
We pick up our coverage of the candidates for the General Assembly in Central Wisconsin as we hear from Democrat Donna Seidel and Republican Jessica Fall in the 85th District, Republican Scott Suter and Democrat Tim Swigum of the 69th District. And we turn now to the subject of health care with 86th Assembly District Democrat Nate Mishka. And up next, Republican Jerry Petruski.
I think everyone has a right to affordable health care, regardless where you are. The Healthy Wisconsin Plan, I do believe, has some problems. One, if you look across the world at places that have some type of universal health care, you run into tremendous problems with things like waiting list, rationing. Up in Canada, I read a book on this, and I talked to one of the doctors that was up there, and they said there was a young lady that had a mastectomy. She had breast cancer. She had a four-month waiting list to get in for chemo. Now, can you imagine if your wife or your daughter or your mother went through that and had to wait 4 months? Think about the fact that if you're 65 years old and you need heart surgery, you get put on a waiting list. There's a reason why people are coming to this country for health care, because we have the best and you can get to it. Is it cheap? No, it's not. Is there things that we can do? I believe there are. The goal, I think, has to be to put the health care choices in the hands of the patient. If they're dealing with their own money, they will find a way to spend less and be a better purchaser of health care.
Nate Mishka, you've got 90 seconds.
Wellness is also a big factor.
Well, and this is an issue that I've had a great deal of personal experience with. Growing up, I was diagnosed as a type 1 juvenile diabetic at age 6. And so, you know, that experience has always kind of emphasized for me the need for affordable health care that's always there for people, because especially in an uncertain economic time like we're dealing with, the job that provides the health care that you have may not be there. And I think that, you know, people who work hard and play by the rules and pay taxes do deserve to have affordable health care. In terms of the Healthy Wisconsin Plan, I think that there's probably a number of options we can look at in the next legislative session. And I guess I would just simply say that this would be, certainly be one of my top priorities. One of the things I guess I would just follow up with about the Healthy Wisconsin Plan that disappointed me last year when it was offered was that there was really no counterproposal from the State Assembly. I don't know if that was because the State Senate was controlled by the Democratic Party and the Assembly is controlled by the Republican Party, but it seems to me that it's very difficult to negotiate or compromise on a plan when one group of people offers a plan and another group doesn't offer anything at all. You can't negotiate with yourself.
Let's go into the rebuttal session, and Jerry and Nate, you've got 3 minutes.
Well, I think the $15.2 billion cost, everybody should be concerned about that, and that cost is only going to go up. Some of the problems you run into is two-thirds of our jobs that are created in this state are probably created in small business. Some small businesses don't have an extra 12% to put towards health care. And so if it comes down to that being the deciding factor, they're probably going to go someplace else and create their jobs. And I think it's up to us to try to make sure that they stay here. I think that there's a plan that I need, that I think you should start with, and it's the Ziegelbauer Plan. And I've talked about this before. It's in Manitowoc County. It doesn't affect everybody, but it does affect people that are in the health care system already. In this particular case, it was the County of Manitowoc. The County of Manitowoc saved $6,000 for every employee, and the employee themselves saved $2,400 each. That's an $8,400 savings per individual that's working for the County of Manitowoc.
Well, I've said to various groups over the course of this campaign that I'm willing to listen to ideas from anyone on healthcare, whether it be small businesses, large businesses, unions, people with chronic diseases like diabetes or other ones. But I think the bottom line is it's very hard to discuss this issue and come up with some kind of a compromise when you voted 100% of the time with your party leadership on 314 out of 314 votes. I think it's just a very difficult thing to do when you go into Madison with that mindset.
Jerry, this is the second time he's brought that up.
Yeah, so you're saying that if you were on the other side of the aisle and you were there, that you wouldn't vote with your party on issues that you felt you would bring forward and wanted to get passed?
I'm saying that I don't think I'd quite hit the 100% mark.
Well, didn't hit the 100% mark every time that we voted either, but I think it's rather naive to try to use that as an issue.
Well, I think it is. There's a big difference between 80 or 90% and 100%, I think, is the simple fact. You know, it doesn't show the deal, the amount of independence I think you need in order to work with others. I think that's what it says. And
I think the reality is I have always been willing to work with anybody, whether it's our Senator Decker or whether it's Representative Seidel or anyone from the other side of the aisle, because we're there to solve problems. And if it's good for a different part of the state, even if it's not close to central Wisconsin, it's still good for the state. And I have done bills helping other people get their bills through from the other side of the aisle, and that's what I think is important.
I'm going to add one more thing real quickly. I agree it's good to work bipartisanly, and I know that Representative Petrosky has worked. I know he mentioned a bill a couple weeks ago about fire code suppression systems, as sort of a big bipartisan achievement that he worked with Senator Decker on. And I guess what I said at that time was that bill, the big bipartisan achievement, was one that made sure that cheese curd operators could keep, going through the fair rather than being shut down after a couple days. And I'm an Everest area optimist. I agree that selling cheese curds is important. But I also said at that time during the chamber debate that I think that there are other issues that are much bigger, like the state budget deficit and the economy, that we need to be working together.
Jerry, we're over here, but I'm going to give you another 30 seconds.
Yeah, let me tell you that there's more than just this fire suppression bill. I also worked on the utility aids payments. I also worked on the bill to allow 3M to run with trucks a little heavier down the road, including local control. Those were all important issues. Maybe Nate frames it as a cheese curd bill, and he doesn't think it's important. But we probably had 10 vendors that would not be at the fair anymore, and all the money that they make goes to great causes around this area. Women's health, they go ahead to the Boys Girls Clubs,
things like that, some of the churches. All that money goes to community efforts here to make our community better. We were going to lose all that, and that's why Senator Decker and I did that bill.
Let's move on to Scott Suter and Tim Swigum in District 69. Back to health care, gentlemen. Healthy Wisconsin, your reaction to it, your alternative, if you have one.
Well, it was stated the battle lines are drawn. Yes, the battle lines are drawn, sometimes on cheese curds. And to say that, to go after cheese curds in the number one dairy-producing section of the state, wow, look out. The battle lines are drawn in Healthy Wisconsin. Look, let's be frank about this. The plan, which my opponent endorsed and some people are still hanging on to, it's $15 billion per year, and that's a payroll tax. And that's only the first year. Again, $15 billion of your tax money going to the government to run your health care. It also covers illegal aliens. Now, I hope that's fixed in some future plans, but it covers illegal aliens. I don't want to do that. I don't know why on earth anyone would support such a thing. It's an employer and employee payroll tax. Everyone is going to pay. If you're a dual-income family and you have one health insurance right now, guess what? You're going to be paying two to the government. Puts the government in charge of your health care. You don't think that's the case? It's a 17-member board that's unelected and has the power to, guess what? Tax. They have the power to tax. And anytime you give a board the power to tax, guess what they're going to do? They're going to up the tax. I bet my bottom dollar. Small businesses would be devastated. And the nation, whether it's Wall Street Journal or others, are laughing at us if we pass this plan.
Tim Swigum, you have 90 seconds.
I guess the issue of the costs involved and the fight to reduce our taxes, it's important. But has anyone seen their property taxes go down in the last decade? No, but they keep promising that. Although the Healthy Wisconsin plan is still a work in progress, it's the closest thing that we've had come across the board to a plan. I think it will help us reduce property taxes because counties, cities, schools will save a lot of money as far as what they pay right now in health insurance costs. Mr. Suter continues to ignore the calls from his constituency to do something about the soaring costs of health care and instead votes with the special interests that contribute to his campaign. He's voted against autistic children and voted in favor of the insurance companies instead of having them cover the costs of that. The public is getting tired of this. This type of support for the powerful lobbyists over the needs of the constituents is typical for Scott Suter, even though he comes home every 2 years to convince the public that things are otherwise. The farmers are going to benefit grossly from this. The farmers are paying right now, most that I talk to, are paying $500 a month with a $20,000 deductible. So they don't go to the doctor. They're not going to go to the doctor because they have to pay the first $20,000 out of their pocket. And that, it's outrageous, and it's correct that the farmers, this is their number one issue. They're not getting health care because it's all out of their pocket.
So gentlemen, you both have 3 minutes.
Well, you know, coming home every 2 years. I live in Abbotsford. I pay property taxes. And thank you, Tim, for leading the fight to raise the sales tax in Clark County. That's going to help a lot.
Didn't lead the fight.
Well, you took credit for it in the
Did
blog.
Did not take I've credit
got the
anywhere.
I've got it right here, Tim. So.
Yep, lie again, Scott.
Oh, really? Well, anybody can have a copy of it after we're here. This is lively. I like it. This is good. It's on. Look. I understand we have a disagreement on Healthy Wisconsin, but the fact is, covers illegal aliens, covers abortions, it's a $15 billion payroll tax. It's the last thing the state needs is the government in charge of your health care. The government's going to not only run your health care, they're going to tell you what prescriptions you get, where you go, what doctor you choose, and
none of that is included in the plan. I don't know where Scott Suter reads that, and the illegal aliens. I don't recall reading that in there either.
I've got a legislative council memorandum that says it covers illegal aliens. And I've got 50 questions that I asked Tim a long time ago. Please answer these questions.
Scott, you don't even speak to me. What do you mean you ask me? He won't even look at me in public.
50 questions, Tim. Here you go.
You didn't ask me that because I'm not in the legislature.
50 questions that I asked you at the previous
forum. 98% of the time with Mike Hipsch, and I do believe that is important because I don't think that 98% of the time the Republicans or the Democrats are correct.
You know, it's interesting.
I would not vote with our party.
It's interesting
that for the people.
You know, voting is not about percentages. It's about getting things done. Now,
if
you
want to talk, how much did we get done the last legislature?
Well, let's talk about what I've got done. It's nice you have your supporters here. That's great. But
I don't even know these people.
Well, the people,
the people, in our district.
The people, wow. You know, let's talk about getting things done. $3 million that helped is helping build a dental clinic in Neillsville. We voted for Badger Care Plus, saved senior care on a bipartisan basis, cooperative care, which is helping farmers, Tim. $3 million for domestic violence prevention. Now, they don't have a huge lobbying organization that accepted money from, but we got it done. We saved Highway 13, and we made sure that rural doctors are going to be encouraged to come to our state. And we're going to have more money for HRSA, which is the high-risk health insurance plan, which we solved on a bipartisan basis. So you can talk about percentages. I'm going to talk about getting things done for our constituents. And if you want to talk about the dental clinic, I'm here to talk about it all night long because I'm very proud of it.
The only thing with the dental clinic is the $3 million he claims to be bringing to Neillsville is meant for the whole state.
The $3 million is money that Senator Decker and I placed in the state budget that is helping to build the dental clinic. It's actually capturing $3 million from the feds. So there's $6 million going statewide to build a dental clinic in Neillsville. And yes, it's going to other centers as well. I'm proud of that, but we're building a dental clinic because of that $3
million. But the claim that it's all coming to Neillsville is a little bit of a stretch
of the
truth. No,
I said the $3 million is helping to build a dental clinic. That's the issue, Tim. You don't like the dental clinic?
Stretch it some more.
Anybody who wants to weigh in on this very briefly, just go forward, but we've got to move along.
Okay, ladies first.
Well, I'd like to support what Nate Mishka was saying, and that was the fact that the Senate did have a comprehensive health care reform package, and we didn't have a chance to vote on it. And we may have wanted to tweak it a bit, and we may have had other ideas. But the Democrats in the majority in the Assembly knew in no uncertain terms that that package was simply not going to be advanced. If and when health care was brought up by the Assembly Republicans, we heard two things over and over and over. Health care savings accounts, which now Representative Souter says was not a be-all and end-all. You wouldn't have known that in the last session. And we heard transparency. Transparency is great. We all need to understand a little more what health care costs and what quality is associated with it. But we also know that more and more people are going without health care. We know that small businesses are begging and pleading for help because most small businesses in the state really do want to take care of their employees, but they simply can't because the costs are escalating. And the ones that do say, hey, you know what? We're at an economic disadvantage because our competitor across the street isn't providing it.
Government would do better under the plan, but small businesses would be driven out of the state, and every employer and employee would suddenly have a brand new payroll tax that would put the government in charge of their health care. One heck of a plan that covers illegal aliens, and I hope somebody answers these 50 questions. I hope someone answers these 50 questions because they're serious questions. But this plan, it is a recipe for disaster for our economy.
Right, Jessica Caval. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Representative Souter on this one. 12% payroll tax, we all know that's never going to cut it. It's probably going to end up to be two or three times that amount. And we do have a working model in Manitowoc County, which Representative Petrowski speaks of. In a real world, you know, companies, they test market products and services in certain areas, and if they work, they move on with them. If they don't, they axe them. Here we've got an opportunity with one county, and he told you the numbers that are actual, real, true numbers. Maybe as a state, we should start out with the state employees and let them work on this.
You've been listening to highlights of our election year issues forum for the General Assembly candidates from Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our questioners, Katie Rosenberg of WAOW, Robert Menser of the Daily Herald. Thanks to our candidates. Thanks to the staff of UW Marathon County. Remember to vote November 4th.